And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. I'm glad you can join me. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. And I want to give that to you now because the entire show today is pretty much built around one listener question. He said, well, Andy, in addition to cashing out, and I think when he says that, I think he means the capital gain that we pull out of the property, either as part of a cash out refinance or when we just simply sell the property, we pull those gains out. He says, in addition to cashing out, what kind of cash flow and tax advantages can I expect in an apartment investment? Now, specifically, he asked about if I invest $100,000. I'm going to leave that to the side. And I'm talking here today just about investing passively. And passively, that just simply means I'm not steering this project. I'm not involved in this project. I just contribute my funds to a pool of funds that the syndicator, the lead investor, collects to acquire and reposition this property. And I only mention that number, that 100K, because I want you to understand, going back to what I just said, that a lot of people have those mental hurdles around capital. It does not normally take $100,000 to invest as a passive partner in an apartment syndication. I've done 25K. I've seen 10K. You know, really, the amount I personally invest is going to depend more on the investment opportunity itself, number one. And number two, probably more importantly, how well I know and how comfortable I am with that lead investor. And just to clarify, I've used that term a couple of times. That's a term we use at Lifestyles Unlimited. We call those syndicators, some people in the market will say general partner. They are the ones that are putting the investment together. We call them leads. They lead the investment. And we, at Lifestyles Unlimited, we have one lead. I've looked at investments outside of the organization, other groups, other syndicators, where there might be as many as eight general partners. A lot of money that they're collecting there. So here we've got one. We've got a lead. That's it. And now the lead may have a minimum. It does depend, a minimum participation amount, a minimum investment. It depends on the capital raise. I've seen it where the minimum is 50 and they bring people on at 25, or like I just said, 10, right? I can ask to contribute at what I have available. I was looking at one recently. Minimum was 50. There were a lot at 25K, and there was a guy at 26K. That's a weird number. I guess that's what he had and wanted to deploy. So when I talk about returns, because we can invest at different levels, I don't want to talk in absolute dollar terms. I'm mostly going to talk in percentage terms. So what do those returns look like to the listener's question? That's what we're going to talk about today. And there are two important considerations that we're going to work through during the course of the show. And we won't get so much into this, but your goals as an investor are a really huge, important driver when you decide on an investment. There are some vastly different investment types when it comes to apartment investing. So when the gentleman asks about what kind of cash flow can I expect? Well, what kind of investment have you selected? All right, that's going to play into this. And, you know, goals, we talked about where and how. So goals is important. Those are important. The other thing is education. Because you want to understand, like I said, there are various investment types. You want to understand the different components of those and what those mean with respect to those returns. That's what we're going to get into in the bulk of the show today. And you really do want to get a background and some education in that topic. The expo is a great place to go. There are a lot of breakout sessions. But if you're specifically thinking about doing apartments, investing as a passive, or even being a lead yourself, a big component of the expo is our multifamily masters tour. And this is a bus tour where you get on the bus with, I don't know how many people the bus holds, a lot of investors. Some of our mentors will be on there. Dell will be on one of the buses. Dell Walmsley, he's the guy that founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, the expo this year is in my neck of the woods. It's here in Dallas-Fort Worth. So you're going to be hitting apartment communities around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You're going to get off the bus. You're going to go into these apartment communities. Typically, they're going to have some units available for you to walk. Some may be just pristine, recently renovated. Some may be just, hey, they just moved out, and man, they had a lot of dogs, and it has that smell. And you're going to see the before and the after. You're going to get the numbers. You're going to see what these particular leads have done to reposition that asset and what that means in terms of returns. Text EXPO to 88007. You can learn more there. That'll take you to a website with some more information, and you can register if you choose. But that's what it comes down to, is what kind of returns can I get in apartments? What better way to learn about that than to be there in person? And I think it's important when it comes to the notion of returns to understand just how it is that we are making our money in apartment investments. Okay, to understand the sources of those returns, because they're, you know, with apartments, we actually make money six different ways. Six. Not one, like when you invest in your 401k and hope that the value goes up, right? It's going to go up, it's going to down, it's going to stay flat, but that's it. You're hoping for a change in the value. That's a gain or a loss. Maybe you invest in gold, same thing, hoping the value goes up or down, right? Well, you hope it doesn't go down, unless you're shorting it, I suppose. Maybe you invest in dividend stocks. Okay, you get a little bit of appreciation, hopefully, and maybe some dividends to boot. Two ways. Apartments, we're making money six ways. And to the listener question, what kind of cash flow am I going to get? Well, that is one of the ways that we make our money, is through cash flow. And basically what happens, it's a residential real estate investment. It's apartments. We have people in place that are renting those apartments. They're paying rent every month. We pay our expenses out of that rent, and that net, that's our cash flow. That's profit. Now, that cash flow doesn't come to me as a passive investor every month. Typically, they're going to make a distribution quarterly. It's just a lot of work, a lot of in and out, ACH transfers, all this sort of stuff. If there are five investors in the investment as passives, maybe that's a little more manageable. I've seen in lead investors do it on a monthly basis, but typically it's quarterly. Some of these bigger investments may have a couple hundred investors in the investment. So cash flow, one of the ways we make money. One of the investors' questions, what are the returns? We'll get to that. The rest are primarily capital gains type reflections, I guess, on the investment. So equity capture is one that we talk about a lot. I talk about that a lot, especially with houses, because we see that tremendously in houses right now. And basically what I'm doing is I'm just buying at a discount and creating value just from day one. It's a little bit different in apartments. I invest in some apartments down in Corpus where the lead investor got it locked in at price X, and the appraisal came back at price X plus $1 million. So we immediately captured $1 million in equity because we bought right. We bought at a discount. Now, it is, again, a rental property, and we collect those rents, and from those rents, every month, we pay the mortgage, right? The principal goes down, the equity builds up, right, as part of that process. That can be big numbers on apartments. On my houses, it might be a couple hundred dollars a month that my resident is paying down for me, but on apartments, big, big numbers. However, do note, and this is part of the education, a lot of the financing that we've been seeing in the recent past and right now, in fact, comes with what's called an interest-only period. It might be 1 year. I've seen 5 years. I've seen longer. And what that means is I'm only paying interest month to month during the term of that interest-only period. Therefore, I don't have any equity buildup because I'm not paying down the principal. So that may engage, that may be a delayed part of your returns. But typically some level of equity buildup. Now, markets do appreciate, right? The value of real estate tends to double every 20 years. So we do see just regular old-fashioned market appreciation. But more importantly, and what we talk about a lot at Lifestyles Unlimited on the investments I'm in, right? When we go to the webinars, see how it's going. When we go to the webinars prior to investing, we talk a lot about forced appreciation. Not just regular old market appreciation that happens over time, but forced appreciation. And this is an important one to understand, because what we're doing is, in some way, we're going in and we're taking an asset that needs some help, whether physically, whether from the management perspective or whatever. And we'll talk a little bit more in detail in the second part of the show what that might mean. But we're able to go in and reposition that asset, and in so doing, force up the value, right? We're improving the cash flow, And unlike my single-family houses, which are valued based on how other houses in my neighborhood have sold, apartments are valued based on their cash flow, their net operating income. And if I can push that up by improving the asset or improving my management, the value will inherently go up. Forced appreciation. Hugely important to understand. And again, we talk about that at the expo when you're on the bus tour, pretty much throughout. So we got cash flow, we've got four different types of capital gains plays, and then there are the tax advantages. And this is the other question the listener had as well. If I invest X amount of dollars, what are the tax advantages to me? We'll talk about that. But I think it's also important to understand not just how we make our money, but to understand the, let's just say, the investment spectrum when it comes to apartments. I'm going to start this. I know we've got a break coming up here shortly, so we may finish this on the backside. But if you picture a line in your head, just like a timeline running left to right, and that represents the different apartment types. On the left side, you've got a pure yield play. We call that a yield play. On the right side, we've got a value play. Better put, I might even call it a deep value play or value add. And what a yield play is it's just cash flow. I'm buying it for the yield. I may not need to reposition it. In its purest form, I don't have to do anything. I'm just buying the cash flow, and it's coming in from day one. Theoretically, my lead investor starts putting out those distributions in the first quarter. Value play, on the other end, may not be cash flowing from day one. Typically, it's not, because we're doing something more to lift that property, to improve it. Whether it's getting rid of the bad apples in the barrel, whether it's physical depreciation we're addressing. And if it's a deep value play, we may be going down to the studs, taking that thing to vacancy 100%. Now, more commonly, the investments I see and that I've invested in, they're somewhere in the middle. In fact, right now, I'm actually seeing a lot of investments that seem to be laying a little bit closer to the yield play end of the spectrum. So we got yield play on one end, we got value play or deep value play on the other, and a lot of stuff in the middle. Why is it, I'm curious though, why is it right now we're seeing a lot of yield play? Hear the music coming on, we'll take that up on the backside. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275 and it's worth $19 million now. So.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and we're talking today about apartments. I had a question from a listener. Well, what are the returns, basically, and what are the tax advantages if I invest X amount? And we're going to discard the amount because typically we're looking at these things in percentage terms. And we defined some stuff up front in the prior segment, the ways that we make money in apartments. You need to understand that because that feeds the whole discussion around returns. And there are different types of investments in apartments. They're not all the same, right? We talked about a yield play, which is cash flowing essentially from day one. A perfect yield play, nothing to do to it. You're just buying the cash flow. At the other end of the spectrum, you take it down to zero vacancy. You take it down to the studs. It is a massive lift, not for the faint of heart. We're not typically playing in that space either, although we do have members. In fact, one of our life changers, David Fisher, he operates in that space quite a bit. If you want to do that, and those are huge capital gains, that's a guy to talk to. He'll be at our Wealth and Passive Income Expo, of course. But typically, or at least what I've been seeing lately, we seem to have drifted a little bit to the yield play end of the spectrum. Why is that? Why yield play? Risk and financing. And we do, and speaking of financing, we like to use other people's money. We're able to leverage, right? Debt is, that's also known as leverage. We're able to leverage into better returns. I have less cash out of pocket, therefore higher returns. The perceived risk and how that's feeding financing as well is pushing people into a more risk-averse position and into that yield play space. Now, we still have, you know, value components to that. I was looking at an investment just recently. It's got a really good return on investment in terms of cash flow, but it has value-add components as well. So we tend to play in a middle ground there. One of the ways that we make money is through the forced appreciation. I stressed that a lot in the last segment because it's important. That's the capital gain driver in most cases. We're turning something around in the property, and it could simply be the physical condition of the property. It's been neglected by the current owner, or maybe it's well kept, right? The mechanicals are all good. The roofs are in good shape, right? The sewer lines, old, you know, 70s build, old cast iron's been replaced. It's now PVC replaced out of necessity because they do break. But the interiors have not been updated, and it's still got that 70s feel. People don't want that 70s feel for the most part anymore. So the physical condition is part of that repositioning in most cases that I've seen. And sometimes these go in tandem. Sometimes it's solely just the, let's call it operational condition, the management, whether it's management or mismanagement. Mismanagement could mean a lot of things. It goes back to that physical condition, by the way, that deferred maintenance by choosing rather than to focus on revenue and pushing up revenue by keeping a clean asset that has good bones and looks good. And I address the needs and concerns of my resident base. I may be deferring that maintenance to save a buck. It's going to cost you a lot more, right? Mismanagement comes in that form. It may be simply, we see this a lot with properties that have been held by mom and pops for a little bit longer, not keeping up with the market rents. And they may not be collecting other revenues as well. Late fees. Yeah, man, they're struggling. That's why they're late. I don't want to go put my hand out and ask for $50 for day one and whatever it is after that. Yeah, you do that. That drives your NOI. Pet fees. Apartment investment I was looking at recently. A lot of pets on the property. No pet fees. Market pet rent these days, at least where I sit in North Texas, is about $25 per pet per month. You can really force up the value through that. We can just simply manage better and respond to those residents' needs. Biggest killer of profit in multifamily or single family, for that matter, is having to do a turn, meaning somebody's moved out. Now I got to go in and fix it up. Got a little bit of vacancy for a bit while I'm doing that, right? Lost time equals lost money. And I mentioned we're gravitating more towards yield plays at the moment. And what I'm seeing is we want to have cash flow day one, the assets cash flowing. That doesn't necessarily mean they're distributing to me on day one. But if rents are a couple hundred dollars below market and the thing is still cash flow positive per my business plan, by the way, not per their pro forma or their data, because guess what? When I come in and buy it, things change. But if it cash flows day one per my business plan and rents are below market, bam, that's an easy catch up. Kind of set the stage here for answering the listener question. He said, Andy, and thinking about apartments and thinking about passive investing specifically, he said, in addition to cashing out, meaning collecting those gains, what kind of cash flow and tax advantages can I expect in an apartment investment? And so let's start with cash flow. I'm very cash flow focused. That's how my wife and I attained our financial freedom, was by building cash flow specifically through houses. By the way, interestingly, we joined in 2012. That's all we did was single family up through 2019. In fact, I started as a radio show host here doing this program without any participation in apartments. But since 2020, we've been doing this gangbusters up to 11 apartment investments. One of those has sold 100% return. Bam. Speaking of returns, another one just did 100% return by way of cash out refi. But I like cash flow. And in fact, it has to cash flow. So the listener question was, what sort of cash flow? Well, it depends. Great answer, right? Everyone loves that answer. It does. It depends on the investment type. And that investment type that you personally are investing in should be driven by your goals, right? If it's a cash flow goal, if it's a capital gain goal, those may be two different things. If it's a timeline goal, you may want that thing in and out in 3 years. Some of them may have a longer lifespan. It may be a diversification of geography goal, right? So a lot of this comes down to you. But if you say, I'm looking at a yield play, all right, well, that may start cash flowing from, it could cash flow Q1, right? From the Q1 relative to the investment of the property. If they buy it mid-year, right, that first quarter. Now, I will tell you, more conservative leads, and I respect this, they may hang on for a quarter or two just to make sure operations run as planned. Sometimes there are surprises, and maybe to collect a little bit of extra capital out of the monthly cash flow, and bam, Q2, maybe Q3, they'll start to distribute. Right now, to the specific question, what kind of returns, I personally, and I'm not connected to every lead out there, so I don't see all of the business plans, but the ones that I know and that are putting investments out there, I've seen anywhere from 6 to maybe 8% cash on cash return at the outset. Meaning if I put in my 100K to the listener's question, I may be getting 6 to 8% of that. And that's going to typically be paid out quarterly. And those don't stick to that. Don't hold me to those numbers, because those do change over time, right? As the market shifts, as the financing becomes more or less favorable, etc. That's a yield play. Now, if it's a value play, what kind of cash flow? You might not see any cash flow. You know, I've gotten into a lot of value play. I'm focused on cash flow, I said, with my houses, to an extent with some of my apartment investments. But a lot of what we've chosen to get into are more value play, where we know we won't see cash flow for a year or possibly even longer. We're more focused in that sense on capital gains. If the deep value play, I may not see any distributions until some sort of capital event, meaning it's been fully repositioned and now we refinance, do a cash out refinance, or we sell. So it truly is, there's a variety of ways to answer that question. If you're looking at yield play, I think I gave you the answer. If you're looking at value play, well, there may not be cash flow for a while, right? Every investment is unique. So the real key here is getting the education and learning to understand the terminology and learning to read the business plans, the private placement memoranda, and all that good stuff, so you can inform yourself of each unique investment that crosses your desk. And there are lots of opportunities there. That's cash flow. Now, the listener didn't explicitly ask about gains, but I do want to remind you, we're making money four ways. We're creating that equity, let's say, in four ways. There's the equity capture on the outset. Example I had is in apartments we invested in, bam, appraised immediately $1 million higher than we were paying. That's equity capture right out the gate. And then as those residents have been paying down the mortgage for us every month, that's equity buildup. Market appreciation and then forced appreciation we talked about in the last segment. So we gather these gains around us, but they're on paper. Right? I can't really do anything with them until there's some sort of a capital event, and that's usually either cash out refinance or a sale. Here too, every investment is unique. So you want to learn how to read the business plans and see what the expectations are. The market is constantly in flux. Some plans, our goal is to double our money. But what is the timeline there? Right? Some investors, lead investors, may plan to hold, let's say, from 2 to 3 years. I've seen 3 to 5 years. That's different than 5 to 7 years. And that's different than 7 to 10 years. So if I don't know if there's going to be a capital event for 5 years, I may not get to see those gains. So if my goal is around collecting capital gains in a shorter time period, well, I need to tune into those investments that will meet those goals. So the timeline is very critical to understand. And financing, as I mentioned, we typically are putting financing into place. That plays in here too, to an extent. I'm not going to go into details here, but there are things that may prevent you from selling in year two because of financing contingencies, that sort of thing. But again, the goal is to double our money, 100% return. Now, I happened to see it in my first apartment investment after, I think it was like 16 to 18 months. Very quick turn. I've seen others that are 3 years. More recently, that timeline has gotten a little bit longer just due to market conditions. But that will change, and that will change again. So you want to get out there now. Get the groundwork laid so that you have the education to read the business plans and understand these things as they cross your desk. So that's cash flow, that's gains, 100% return. That's what I want to see. And then there are the tax advantages. And that was the other question from the listener. What sort of tax advantages will I see? That's a harder one for me to put in. I mean, clearly you want to hear a number from me, but I can't really put a number to that. The tax advantages that we have result from something called depreciation. So any real estate asset we buy, whether it's single family or multifamily, we're able to write off a portion of that asset over time. And 27 and a half years is what the IRS tells me I can depreciate the asset. So, you know, if it's a $275,000 asset, right, that's going to be $10,000 per year over time that I'm going to expense. And that's a paper expense. Now, in theory, it reflects things that are wearing and tearing over time. Yes, I get that. But it's a paper expense, and that paper expense is typically more than able to offset my cash flow. So I'm collecting cash flow without paying taxes on that. And sometimes the losses are even higher because we do something called cost segregation, whereby we say, well, not everything depreciates over 27.5 years. Carpet depreciates over five or wears out, right? It's expected its lifetime is 5 years. AC condenser, something else, fence, something else. So we go out and we figure out what the actual lifespan of each and every item, towel bar, right, doorknob, everything in that property is, and we pull that depreciation up. So our depreciation hit is very high in the first year, maybe in the second year. And we're able to take those losses now. They're going to more than cover my cash flow in that year, so I'm left with this bucket of losses. I don't have to use them all in the first year. And if I don't have the gains to offset with losses, well, they're going to roll into the next year. They're going to roll into the next year after that. When we sold a house a year ago now, we had a substantial gain. We did not do a 1031 exchange. That's another tax advantage we could have availed ourselves of, but we did not. We just simply took all of those losses that we had accumulated over time from our houses, from apartments, and use those to offset the passive losses to offset that passive gain. But you'd be surprised. We put $80,000 into an investment in Indiana. The loss I had year one was $60,000 on paper. So that's a lot of the losses that I'm talking about. Now, it's very much investment specific, just like everything we've talked about today. The question to ask the lead is, do you plan to do a cost segregation study? Not everyone does, right? What is your plan in that sense? So tax losses, tax advantages, again, just varies significantly. This is where you should go out and get more involved and get more into the education. Get out to the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. Text the keyword expo to 88007 to learn more and register there. Because I know it's a lot of if then in my reply, it depends, etc. But the real answer remains, these things are truly investment specific. And regardless, they should absolutely tie to your goals, right? Goals, again, may not just relate to your returns. You may want some geographic diversity, especially in the wake of what we just saw down in Houston, right, with the hurricane, or maybe it's the political environment. I mentioned Indiana, great place to go. I'm looking at stuff in Tennessee, Georgia, all over the place. And here today, we've only been talking about investing as a passive. Maybe you want to be a lead. Maybe you want to buy your own apartments. I mentioned a show from June 14th that's archived on our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. We got into some of the ins and outs of all three of those modalities of investing into apartments. So if you want to learn more, go check out that website, go check out that show, and think about it. Maybe I shouldn't be a passive. I got to let it get up and go. Let's go be a lead. Let's go be an independent rental owner. Figure that out. All right. Well, hey, thank you for tuning in today. And again, go check out the expo. Great place to go to learn even more about all the things that we've talked about today. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.